Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I welcome back Trish Blackwell to the show, where we're going to be talking about self-confidence, overcoming self-doubt, overcoming limiting beliefs, and much, much more around that. Excited to have you back, Trish, to the show. It's great to have
Johnny,
you.
Thank you. I think I just love connecting with people who are interested in what I'm so passionate about. Like, I think we share such equal interests in the mindset and the confidence. And I mean, just that what can change when you change the stuff that's happening in your brain, your whole life changes.
Absolutely.
And so I love talking about it. I love being able to nerd out with somebody who we just both enjoy the same things and helping other people implement that into their lives too.
Absolutely. Yeah. We were chatting for quite a bit before the show.
Yeah. But it's good. It's a good day to just chat. I'm loving it.
It's good to, we'll dive in. So I'm just going to introduce a little bit about Trish, and then we'll continue our conversation. So Trish is an expert at empowering people to get past self-doubt, overcome self-limiting beliefs, and perform at their highest levels. So she is a confidence coach to Olympic and professional athletes, Ironman champions, CEOs, high-achieving entrepreneurs, and cultural influencers. She has been featured by TLC, Entrepreneur, and Elite Daily as one of the top confidence coaches in the world. Her approach to confidence has equipped and empowered an audience of over 6.5 million people worldwide through her top-ranked podcast, The Confidence Podcast, her books, her coaching, and her online coaching university, The College of Confidence, also considered the most encouraging place on the internet. Amazing, Trish. It's really, like we were just saying, it's really great to connect with like-minded individuals. I know you've got a ton of value that we're going to talk about today. So yeah, be really useful for the listener if they're new to your work or new to you, just to get a little bit of an understanding about what's like inspired you to help people with their confidence.
Yeah. So if I give let's just do an aerial view of my story. My story is I am a type A perfectionist driven, like always believed in herself doer. I have always been a doer. I've been a natural leader, naturally athletic, naturally that kid, that little girl who said, oh, I'm going to change the world. Right. Like, so I had that in me, and I also am an extrovert. And so you pair those two together. I'm an optimistic, happy, extroverted, driven, all-American girl. Okay, so add that. And then I was able to very quickly accomplish things and check things off the box. And anything I said, I did. But the problem was I started attaching my self-worth and my confidence to my performance. And so that was academically, that was athletically, socially. And so when I started struggling, and if I had Olympic aspirations and then the Olympics didn't happen for me, not even the Olympic trials, and that was like it was supposed to happen, I started having a crisis of confidence, but I felt so alone in it because everybody looked at me and said, but you're still successful. But look at all that you've done. You know, I was a Division I, for those US listeners, I was a Division I full scholarship athlete. So they go, yeah, but you got free education permit. Like, you did everything you could in the sport except for your actual goal. So that's good enough. But the problem was people saw me and I was still achieving and accomplishing. And on the inside, I was riddled with anxiety. I woke up every day feeling like I was a disappointment, knowing I hadn't tapped into my fullest potential. And so I developed a very, very self-critical mind that was constantly beating myself up. And so in that, and as a high achieving athlete, during a 10-year period from like 15, probably I would say 13 to 23, I also had an eating disorder. But as an athlete with an eating disorder, when you go and do, in college, we were swimming 4 hours a day. It's a pretty intense sport, the sport that I was in. So, you know, practice was 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. And then we had, you know, school, and then another practice 4 to 6 or 4 to 7. And then you rinse, repeat, do it again 6 days a week. But I secretly was harboring an eating disorder because it was a sense of control. And so if you looked at me physically, I probably look the same now at 40 as I did at 20. My body's pretty close to the same. But as an athlete at that time, I wasn't reaching my potential, and I beat myself up thinking, well, I bet if I'm skinnier, I'll be more hydrodynamic, then I'll go through the water faster. So here's my solution. I will eat less and work out more, which now if we look at that objectively, that's really dumb, right? I was not fueling my body. I was overtraining it, but on the, thinking I had suppressed all this, I didn't know I could talk about any of this to anyone because everyone had high expectations. I was also a happy, driven person. And so they're like, oh, she's team captain. She's good. She's accomplishing. And so I had a lot of shame about telling people I'm actually really doubting myself. I'm really insecure. I'm beating myself up. Mm-hmm. I'm psyching myself out before races, and I didn't know how to get help. And so what I did was just eat less and exercise more. And so outside of the practices, I would go for a run. And instead of people being concerned, I got applauded. Because especially the US culture is like, yeah, hustle. Like, look at you going, girl. Like, yeah, of course she's going to do more. Meanwhile, I'm in this prison of my mind going, wow, no one really knows how depressed, anxious, and insecure I am. And then the more I did that, the more I tried, the more I underate, the more I overworked, obviously the less I performed, the worse I performed, the worse I performed, the more it wrecked my confidence because my confidence was attached to my outward achievements. And so all that to be said, after I graduated college, I went and swam internationally, but I also was teaching in France. And I went from a very, very packed lifestyle to a very open, fluid one where I had more time to think. And it was the first time I was sort of stripped away from all of the things as this all-American girl I had attached my self-worth to. And in France is when I realized, hold on, I wouldn't have been able to put a finger on it of like what I was struggling with it was, other than I knew the food and the body thing was a problem. I knew the eating disorder was there, but I didn't know why. I didn't know it was a reflection of confidence. And so it was in France where I went, oh, like I had this huge aha, huge revelation. And that is what made me go, I'm going to help other people like me. And I didn't know, like, I didn't know how to start coaching on confidence, how to do it, but I just knew I had struggled so secretly with insecurity and peering on the outside, very confident, that I went, I need to create tools, one to help myself first. Like, let's start with where the fire is. And then I started coaching people. I was a personal trainer at the time. I was started mentoring other people, teaching sales, and sales is all confidence, right? So I started going, whoa, everywhere in my life is confidence. I started getting really interested in it. And that's what launched me into, okay, let me create tools, the tools that I needed at the time, the language, the conversation. And now let me share those with others. So that is what started me on this roundabout journey to confidence. And I think that's what's so interesting. The biggest feedback I had, especially 10 years ago when I was starting confidence coaching, when it was not a term that you could even Google, right? I remember Googling it, asking my mentor, so this doesn't exist, but this is what I feel called to do. And he was like, that's exactly why I should start it. But I had people go, well, who are you going to help? Like, you're probably going to help somebody who's like a wallflower and like really meek. And like what I found is that the people who need the confidence work the most are the world changers, the difference makers, the ones, the people like I identified as of like, wait, I have so much ambition, but I don't know how to tap into it. And maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm not capable. People are surprised to know first that everyone needs to work on their confidence. I think you're like, 100%. But they're a confident person. And you're like, hold on. No, this is all, it's a daily renewing of your mind. Like, I have great breath. I'm going to tell you, I have great oral hygiene, but my breath still gets bad every night when I wake up, but I still have to brush my teeth daily. And I think confidence is the same. Like, even if you have this natural propensity to be confident, you still need to clean it. You still need to brush it. You still need to have a hygiene level for it. So anyways, that is the long-winded answer.
I love that. And I really appreciate your story and actually sharing on that outside. You were going out there, you were, achieving certain things, you were doing things. And actually on the inside, it wasn't always obvious that there was perhaps a little bit of a challenge internally and in terms of how you felt about yourself. And yeah, it's interesting when I've heard people say that, and I can relate to it as well myself, because I've been like pushed myself like to speak publicly when I was terrified. But actually what I discovered was years later, I still had like actually quite a challenge with my self-talk. It got really down, and that's when I really started building a relationship with myself stronger. So I really do appreciate that. So and that share. So for you, in terms of building that relationship with yourself, was there anything that really helped you? I mean, there's like so many tools. I'm not asking you to list all your tools, but I'm just curious if there's something that really helped you develop that relationship with yourself.
Absolutely. And I got to say, for me, it was France. So slowing down to actually acknowledge that we have a relationship with ourselves is the first thing. And that is a relationship that needs to be invested in. And I don't think that's a conversation that a lot of people are brought up into. And so for me, the reason France, I could insert any country, anything other than my routine, you could certainly do that. But I went from such a busy schedule, 4 a.m. to basically 11 p.m., where the all-American hustle dream, go hard, every minute was occupied. I didn't have any time for a relationship with myself. I didn't have any understanding of how to do that. It was not a value. It was not prioritized, and there was not time for it. And so the reason I think I had such a breakthrough when I was in France was that because I found myself with like, well, I have 3 hours. I guess I'll sit at a cafe table and watch people walk by, right? Like I had to learn how to spend time with myself, learn how to enjoy myself, learn how to listen to myself, learn how to have the mental space to even think about what I think about. I know you are as into journaling as I am. And I know that you had a recent episode on journaling. For me, journaling is like the core, simplest way to start to spend time with yourself and build your relationship with yourself. But I can speak for the American cultures. We are so focused on doing that we have no space or margin for being.
Same here in the UK.
Right. So it's like, really, I think the core way to start building a relationship with yourself is one, decide that it's important, put it as a value, and then honestly create margin. And I think what's really, we've got to make it bite-sized margin. Cause I think if we can go, oh, I'll go on a yoga retreat, or, oh, on Sunday afternoon, I'll go for a hike. Like, that's great. I'm all in for all of that, but let's be realistic. Like, I have two kids, I've got a puppy. I ain't got time for that. We got to do like, how can I have 10 minute margin? What can I do? Just be sit with myself and let me be alone with my thoughts. Am I brave enough to be alone with my thoughts for 10 minutes, 5 minutes at a time, 10 minutes at a time is how we do it. Cause if you think about friendships, right? When you meet a new acquaintance and someone you enjoy, often it's in a 5 or 10 minute exchange. And then the next time you see them, it's in a 5 or 10 minute exchange. And then it's like, it's little, these little micro experiences together that build camaraderie, acquaintanceship, moves from acquaintanceship to friendship. But I think most people aren't even at the acquaintance level with themselves. Right?
Yeah.
100%. So I think I love micro margin, 5 minute, 10 minute segments of time with yourself.
Yeah. It's funny. I was not long ago today, I was in my 20 minutes, didn't start off 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes. It just, lying myself, and I wrote a blog about this today. It's like one of the most challenging things. Like, as someone who's kind of like skydive out of plane and stuff, I said sitting with myself is sometimes being more terrifying than that. Is so strange, but it's actually the most rewarding, I find, in terms of sometimes those feelings and being like, oh, I didn't want to see that about myself, or I didn't want to look at that wound, or that time I was really hurting. But actually it's kind of builds that relationship with myself, and it's
100%. Well, it builds it and it creates trust. It creates trust of like, do I trust myself to be kind to myself and not judging? Or you know, I think and for anybody that's listening that wants to start stepping into this and practicing this a little bit, 5 to 10 minutes at a time, you certainly can do it by sitting in quiet. You can do it through meditation. You can do it through journaling. You can do it through prayer. I also think there's two simple practical ways that I like to invite people into it, of just when you drive, just turn your radio off, let your brain be blank. Like, or I like to walk my dog and leave my phone behind. And it's great because it's kind of like, I mean, so it's really hard. That is a hard decision too, because I'm always listening to like 4 audiobooks and I've got like 15 podcasts, and I'm like, oh, I could, like, I just know for me, I'm like, no, but Trish, your breakthrough is on the other side of the quiet. And if I've described my personality enough, like, I'm intense and I like to do things. I like fast and I like a lot. And I'm like, whoa, what I know I need to have a relationship with myself is a quiet walk. And it's hard sometimes to choose that, but it's a simple way for anybody that wants to implement this and to say, we can just look at 5 minutes at a time of just allowing yourself to say, I'm going to choose to be the type of person who thinks about what I think about.
I'm
brave enough to do that. I'm brave enough to be curious about what is it I'm feeling? What is it that I'm thinking? Because I think if you're willing to do that, then anything is possible.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's so funny. I've got a, I like what you said about, you know, you want to listen to the audiobooks and the podcast, you got them all lined up. But yeah, it's like, I need that. You're saying you need that time for you. I've got a somatic, one of my coaches, a somatic coach. Yeah, I remember one of the things he asked me when we started working together. It was like, I'm like, oh, I really struggle with the being with myself. And he's like, maybe investigate what is a threat for you to being with yourself. And it's like, so it's always a curious one. So it's really interesting that came up for in terms of your one. So love it.
Absolutely.
Trish, you talk about the five pillars of confidence. Just wondered if you could touch on that a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as I said, I'm always trying to look at how do I take what I think is a very all-encompassing, very complex and deep emotion, right? Confidence is an emotion, but it's also a state of being. It's also a thought pattern. I'm like, how do I teach this in a way that's simple and clean and accessible? Because I think most people would resonate going, I want to feel more confident. And then you're like, but where do I start? And so I made these pillars of confidence. And if you think about them as like a Greek building, these are pillars, right? And it's to first and foremost, know who you are. I think when you know who you are, and that is what we're touching on with spending time in relation with your relationship with yourself, know who you are. The next pillar of confidence is to know what you want. I think, and it sounds so simple, but Johnny, I spend so much time with people in coaching relationship or with my students. It sounds like the simplest questions that we can ask ourselves sometimes are the hardest to answer. What is it that you want? What do you want your future to be? What do you define as wealth? What do you define as a great marriage? For any parents out there, like, or aspiring parents, like, what is your definition of success as a parent? Like, we can go, but to spend time and answer, to really know what you want is one of the hardest questions. So once you know what you want, it's pretty easy to make that decision. I'll give you a simple example. My family and I are huge into snowboarding. Like I'm obsessed, right? Like, and my kids compete, and we just went out to Whistler, Canada, had a great trip. And my husband needs a new snowboard. And I told him, for two seasons now, I've said, Brandon, get a board. Like, let's get you a new board. I'll find a Burton board. I'll find another board. I'm like, he keeps saying, well, I don't know what I want. So he's riding a trash board, a used board that we bought for like $100 5 years ago. This guy should not be on this board. We have traveled the world snowboarding and he's traveling along with this POS. And so for me though, and so he's stuck in indecision. He has finally made a decision. He just told me today. So I'm very excited to find out what his new board is going to be. We're going to buy it for him. But for me, and he's looking at, I need to find the right board based on he's an advanced snowboarder. I need to make sure I'm not getting an intermediate board versus an advanced board. What's the camber? There's so many things. Here's what I know. The difference for me, it's easy to pick a snowboard. I'm a very advanced snowboarder, but you know what matters the most to me? What do I want? I want a pretty board. My board is pretty. My board is hot pink. Honestly, I should care about if it's an all-terrain, if it's more of a park board and doing, train park stuff with my kids, or if it's like mountain riding. I don't actually care. You know what I want? I want it to be pink. I know what I want, not what I should want. What I should want is the right performance board for the type difference of riding I do. But you know what I really want is that I really love my like a full outfit to be pink or purple or whatever. I want it to be pretty. And so I think that's such a simple example of like having clarity on what you want helps you make decisions. And I have confidence when I make my decisions, because I know what I value. I know what I want. It's easy for me to pick my snowboarding stuff. Like we get stuck in indecision. And when we indulge in indecision, it steals confidence from us. It leaves us in self-doubt and we waffle back and forth. And so it's just a simple way to go. When you know what you want, your confidence can go high because you have clarity in your decision. So going back to the pillars, know who you are, know what you want. The next one is know that you matter. And this is more that bigger, like, purpose question, and like to truly believe that the difference you make on a Tuesday with your coworkers matters. To have value in your work, even if you're in a temporary or a transition job, to go, how do I find purpose and value? And how do I believe the bigger picture things, that what I do matters and that I can make a difference? And there's a fulfillment element that comes to that when you believe that you matter and that your contribution to your family, to your community, to your neighborhood, to your workplace matters. So know who you are, know what you want, know what you matter, know that you matter, know how to think is the fourth pillar. Meaning know how to think about what you think about, which we already mentioned through journaling, through meditation, through quiet, but really learning how to do in what I call intentional thought creation, thinking on purpose about what you know, and we're generating beliefs, we're visualizing, but also intentional emotional creation. So your thinking creates your emotions create your actions, how to manipulate that cycle and how to get yourself out of thinking toxic thoughts or negative thoughts. And there's methods that I walk my students through on how to do that and how to create better neuropathways, right? How to think on purpose and how to reprogram your brain. And then the fifth pillar is know that your future is greater than your past. And this is, you know, I grew up in a culture where it was like your 20s are the best year of your life. And then your 20s are great, but I gotta tell you, my 30s were better than my 20s. And so far I'm at the brink of my 40s, but they're amazing, right? So I've made a decision that my life is only getting better and better, and so there's confidence in the future. And I think sometimes we sabotage our confidence or water it down because we're like, well, we cling a little bit too much to the past. And you know, and so you're like, but what if you truly just believe that your future is better than your past and that the best is yet to come? And so I think high achievers especially put pressure on themselves to go, but like, I have to maximize my potential. I have to have my retirement at this. And I think that's all great. Those are great guidelines. But if I just have confidence that because I'm a person who's committed to growth, if I'm growing and I'm always growing, then I'm always getting better. And if I'm always getting better and I'm always thinking better, then literally my experience of life is always going to be better. So we can remove and strip circumstances. That's not to be Pollyanna and life is not going to have problems. That is, despite the problems, my life and my experience of life is still going to get better.
I love
that takes some of the anxiety that I think deteriorates confidence away, because anxiety is fear of the future. But if I'm like, my future is good, my future is in the bag.
Excited about it.
It's empowering. Yeah. So those are the five.
I love those five. They're brilliant. And the fifth one reminds, I did tend to quote Tony Robbins a lot, but I don't tend to as much. But I remember one thing he did say was, your past does not equal your future unless you live there. In that, I love that.
That's
unless you
really
live
good.
In your past. Yeah. And I just thought,
really good.
Very true. And it's no, and for me, it's, there's the knowing it, hearing it on intellectual, but then life can give you that real opportunity to use it sometimes. So
Well, and we so often live in the past identity. We often limit ourselves of who we really can be by who we've been. I've always been introverted or extroverted or what, like, we define. And you're like, but that, you're not a static fixed person. We're constantly in transformation,
evolving. Love it.
Yeah.
So I love what, like, you keep it simple, these five pillars, right? Because I know there's a lot of people have, like, contacted me from this podcast. I've been there myself, definitely. We're surrounded by so much information, so much, like, conditioning, things coming at us, like, left, right, and center, whether it's social media or people, right? And it can create a lot of overwhelm, a lot of confusion. So do you get a lot of those kind of individuals, like, speaking to you, and it's a case of coming back to some of these basic questions?
Yeah, absolutely. It is the case of, it's the people are, we're thinking so much, but it's because we're still busy and we're kind of taking our thoughts. And then we it's the lack of taking time to think about what you think about. And so I direct people to say, here's the first thing you're going to do. I need you to figure out who you are. Who are you right now? And who do you want to be? I think there's also something really empowering to say, let's decide. And you know, I coach on this based on self-concept. Who do you see yourself as? Let's start practicing being that version of yourself. And once you have clarity on who you want to be, a lot of the other things fall in place. and you can start showing up as that person. But it is hard. There needs to be some constraint to say, I'm in this pillar of confidence. Let's maximize this. I think we're so focused on purpose before we even know who we are. Your identity starts, is the core of your confidence.
Oh, like that.
Right? Like, so we start there, we keep it simple. And so I will often redirect people and go, come back here. We master this pillar. And then we do the next one. Because if you can't tell me what you want, then you're going to be the shiny object squirrel. Like, oh, maybe I should try this. And maybe I should do this. And like, but like, that's where I think that that's why that second pillar is often the hardest. What is it that you really want? Right? Is it location independence? Is it time independence? Is it to be, you know, to leave a legacy of something? Is it a certain amount of wealth? Like, these are big questions, right? But I actually put together I'll send you the link. It's on, it's an Amazon journal. It's like $6. It's super, it's not for me to make money off of. It's for me to have as a tool for people, but it is it's 1,000 journal prompts based around those five pillars. And so there's 200. And what I send people to that as a resource, because if you go, ooh, I need to do some work on figuring out what I want, then I would recommend that book, because you would go to open that section of the book and you will have 200 journal prompts that will guide you with the right questions to help you figure out what is it that I want. Or if you are working on pillar one, who do I want to be? There's 200 questions for each one. So I'll send you that link so you can include it in the show notes.
Oh, but brilliant.
It's a great little resource so that you can go, okay. And when I advise people to do guided journaling like that, I always recommend take your journal, write the question at the top of the page so that you're meditating on the question a little bit, and then let your brain free flow. Right? Don't judge what comes up. Just be curious.
Yeah. No, I love that. Just writing it down and then and seeing where it directs you sometimes. It's interesting how the mind works when you direct it in the right way, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than the autopilot sometimes of the what's wrong with me kind of question.
Exactly.
I've certainly been a subject to many times in my life.
Yeah.
Man, love that. So yeah, Trish, just wanted to, obviously working with like high performers and, you know, athletes and, you know, going through in your own life, a lot of us, we can like build up momentum and feel confidence when things are good. Sometimes we get like a setback, right? And sometimes it, whether that's in like performance, whether that's like a personal relationship or something like that, is there something that you found useful in those times that maybe helps you or has helped your clients build their confidence back up again to
get back? There's a power phrase that I like to use, that a setback is actually a setup, right? Like this is not a setback, this is a setup. But then the real thing is, I like to encourage people that every time you have a setback, whether it's relationally, whether it's professionally, whether it's personally, to look at that setback. We can call it failure. It's a disappointment. Whatever it is that didn't go wrong, let's just label it as failure for now. That there's no failure, there's only learning. And that the more you're willing to fail and the more you're willing to feel, the more you will succeed, the more available that thing that you want is. Because I think what we don't want about the setback is how it makes us feel. We feel so disappointed. We feel gutted. We feel the self-doubt. And there's nothing wrong with any of those feelings. Like to stop labeling, and I think we can label it just for the sake of the conversation, is these are negative feelings, but that the full experience, the human experience, is to feel the full expression of emotions. And so if you're unbothered by the potential negative feelings, then you won't retreat. And so to tell your brain, when you're disappointed, when you have self-doubt, when you feel betrayed or you have resentment, you're struggling with like the disappointment from the setback, to tell yourself, this is part of the experience that's going to elevate me to the next. That my willingness to feel these feelings mean I won't run from the feelings. This is part of my curriculum for me to expand my capacity as a human. And I think even more simply, sometimes I tell people that the self-talk can be as simple as nothing has gone wrong here. Because when we do have a setback, we're like, oh no, everything's falling apart. And then we're like, oh, then it's going to all unravel and it's going to fall apart and the shoe's going to drop. Right? And honestly, we can cut through some of that by going, things gone wrong here. This is for me, not against me. Like, this is going to be good. I will make something good come from this.
Oh, I love that. The fail and feel. I really like
that. I love those two, man. Because then I'm like, I realized so much in my life, I ran away from my feelings. Mm. And I was such a perfectionist, such an achiever. I was really afraid and ashamed of failures. Obviously, I've done a lot of work in that area now. But when I am discouraged, and when I do have a setback, and when things don't go well, I'm like, girl, this is just that you are succeeding. Because your willingness to feel all this right now and not be bothered by it, not be discouraged by it, I'm going to feel discouragement, but I will not be discouraged. That's a very different thing.
Yeah. The feeling of it, but not identifying with it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Got it. Oh, that's beautiful. Trish, just kind of like a couple of things really, before we wrap up, I'd love to keep our conversation going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obviously. I always like to ask, our wonderful guests like yourself, what their number one confidence tip would be to leave us with today. Obviously, it could be something maybe we've talked about today, maybe something else. And then also we talked about the journal prompts, but where else can the listener find you if they want to find out more about your work?
Awesome. Absolutely. The number one confidence tip I will give, aside from journaling is a superpower and will give you superpower, is I like a 3-minute journal at night. I call it the 333 method. And actually, there's a free download. People can go check it out at trishblackwell.com/333method. And it is a 3 questions to ask yourself. It should take 3 minutes or less at night, and it will improve your self-validating self-talk, right? So your confidence is a reflection of your self-talk. And so the three parts of the 333 method are 3 gratitudes, 3 things that went well, 3 wins of the day, and 3 wins of tomorrow. So you're learning how to applaud yourself on acknowledging yourself and validating, hey, this day could have been absolute crap, but look at what I did do well. What did I move forward? Like, hey, there's a lot not working, but this is working. So we're focusing our brain on what is working, and then also preemptively deciding tomorrow how we will be successful, and not saying, I hope I get this done, but just to get your brain into the pattern of saying, I am deciding that this is the win tomorrow. This is a done deal. So you can start trusting your brain when you're proclaiming what you're going to do or not do. You no longer have goals, you have decisions. And then if people want to jam out more and go deeper on some of the techniques and tools on confidence, check out the Confidence Podcast. So you're a podcast listener, you just add the show, and we drop new episodes every Tuesday.
Oh, amazing, Trish. We'll be sure to link that all up like we're talking about in the show notes. So Trish, absolute amazing to have you on today. And thank you for everything you've shared.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Awesome. So that concludes our episode for today. And remember, you are in control of your own self-esteem and confidence.